Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is podcast. I'm excited to welcome Kim Sorrell, author of Love Is. Kim, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest.
I'm doing great, Neil. Thank you so much. And I am excited about our guest. There are a few things that I know about this man that I'm excited to talk to and meet. Pastor Jay Stewart, I know that he must be a very wise man because apparently he met his wife in high school and knew a good thing when he saw it. So good for you. You're a patient man. You have 5 kids and 3 grandkids. You are an ambitious man. You started a church in your basement that now has, I believe, 3 campuses and is a large church doing incredible things. And you're extra ambitious because at the age of 60, living out a dream that you've had forever, we get to talk about today. Pastor Jay, welcome, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming.
Hey, Kim and Neil, thank you so much. What an honor to be with you today and talk about the dream of God.
Yeah. Right. So tell us more about this dream, when this dream started and how it's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, it actually started about 40 years ago. And at that time I was in college and I'm somewhat of a thrill seeker. And at the time it just sounded like a really cool, fun thing to do for a college student. But over time it has morphed much more into a kingdom dream. And really just over the past year have seen just a collision of destiny and the dream coming into fruition and just now days away from becoming a reality.
Wow. So tell us what's becoming a reality.
So I'm a card carrying certified crazy man, but on May the 4th, which is the National Day of Prayer for America, I'll dip the back tire of my bicycle in the Pacific waters at Corona Del Mar, California, and I'll begin a 3,400-mile bicycle ride across America all the way to Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm doing that all in an effort to raise $1 million for an organization that I've been partnered with for the last 7 years called Love Life. And I could not be more excited and more terrified at the same time.
I can totally see that. You are a certified crazy man, apparently. That must be accurate. That is a long way. I have to tell you, though, I asked Alexa, because I ask her everything. Yeah. I asked her how long of a ride it is from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. And the answer was 4 to 5 hours. Yeah. So good luck with that. But
if I were on a Learjet, I'm sure that would be the case, but not on a bicycle. Right.
Not on a bicycle. How many days will this take you?
We're projecting about 7 weeks, Kim, start to finish. I do have a couple of off days on the ride, not many, but I do have a few, and I'll have to average 80 miles a day. Now, some days are longer, some days are 120. Some days are 60, but the average will be 80 to 85 miles every day.
Are you in pretty good shape? You seem like it to be able to do this, right? You're ready for it, right?
Yeah, Neil, I believe so. I mean, I've been training specifically for this since August the 5th, 9 months exactly to the day that I start, which is interesting. And, you know, I've logged about 2,000 miles since August the 5th. And I feel like I'm ready. I'm ramping up my training here these last few weeks just to be sure I'm doing everything I can to be ready. But I've never done anything like this in my life. And I'm trusting God, really, that he's going to give me the supernatural strength. You know, the Philippians 3:14 reality. I can do all things, or 4:13, pardon me, all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes, I believe that's going to happen for you. I have to tell you that I have a hard time committing to an entree when I go out for dinner. So to commit to this long of a bike ride, I bow to you, sir. Congratulations on your commitment. And I know you're doing it because, first of all, it was a dream, but really because of this organization that you're partnering with, that is a wonderful organization. Yeah. Part of their mission statement is that they want to create a culture of love. Yeah. I love that. I love that. To motivate churches, to mobilize churches, to do the right thing, right? Like for so long, maybe we haven't been handling things quite the right way.
Yeah.
So I love the mission of this mission. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. An amazing organization that started 7 years ago by a young entrepreneur here in Charlotte named Justin Reeder. And Justin was just gripped with what I would agree is the greatest moral issue of our day when we think about the fact that 63 million babies in America have been killed that we know of since 1973. And so Justin really wanted to create an organization that would mobilize the church and others not to go out and scream and judge and yell at people that were having an abortion, but to create a culture of love and life. And so Love Life really has combated this evil through prayer and worship. And now in over 20 cities across the U.S., the church is being mobilized to go and to see the unborn rescued. But it's not just to prevent abortion, but it's also to rally around the moms who are choosing life and to disciple them and to journey with them and to resource them. And it goes beyond that. For women who have had an abortion, it's not an unforgivable sin, but Love Life really ministers to them and the men who were involved in that to help them to find a place of healing. And then lastly, they're really mobilizing the church to foster and adopt children that need a family. And so it's kind of the full circle of how they're caring for children, both the unborn and the born, and the moms and dads as well. And that's why I love life. And that's why I felt like God directed me that I was to do this at the age of 60. We know that it was historic last year when the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, was overturned by the Supreme Court. But we also know the battle didn't stop there. The battle really heated up even more when it went to the states. And I believe the timing of God is impeccable as it relates to the church becoming more bold and courageous and taking ground on this issue.
So let's talk about this, Pastor Jay, more. How are you going to raise $1 million? That's probably the hardest challenge, right? To be able to raise that money for this bike ride.
Yeah, it's monumental, Neil, to say the least. But we're just believing that the body of Christ is going to rally around a crazy dude, a crazy pastor, and say, you know what? It's time that the church really gets more involved, more engaged, and more vocal about this issue so that we can take ground with this. And so the goal is that we just resource an amazing organization like Love Life with the ability to expand into more cities. And then another goal that's probably even more important than the $1 million is that we want to see 1,000 House of Refuge churches raised up. So back to the goal of the monetary goal, we're asking that teams across the nation be formed to ride virtually with me. And that's happening. There's teams that are forming all across the country, and people are saying, I'll ride on my Peloton, I'll ride at my gym, I'll get out on my mountain bike, I'll get my kids out on the greenway, and we'll log some miles with this crazy guy, and we'll help to raise the funds. And they get people to sponsor them. And then also, we're just asking pastors and churches, hey, become a House of Refuge church and mobilize your people to get involved.
I love that. I love all of it, that you're involving so many people, that people are getting behind what you're doing. I like very much that it's not going and yelling at people who are getting an abortion.
Yeah.
My word, you know, I think of the kind of the cruelty of that, right? I mean, these poor women right. that are in these positions, and, you know, to some people, abortion is not a thing, right? I mean, everybody comes from a different spot and doesn't understand, and but the emotional scars that can be left are tough. And so to help with that and help with, okay, so you're going to have the baby. Now what? I mean, of course we should be helping the mamas, and we should be counseling, and we should be embracing. And those are the things that we should do. And so I'm glad and happy to hear that there's an organization that is really looked at how things have been done and they're changing things. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, because statistically, every church in America probably has some women that have had abortions sitting in their pews.
No doubt about it, Kim. In fact, 25% of those that are sitting in the churches every week have either had an abortion or been involved somehow in an abortion. And you're exactly right. And it's, again, it's not the unpardonable sin. The Lord desires to bring healing to those who have made that choice in the past, or those who find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy that might be inclined to run to the abortion clinic. And we're just saying, no, run to the church, because there are churches across the nation that are not going to shame you. They're not going to judge you or condemn you. As a matter of fact, the opposite. They're going to love on you. They're going to surround you. They're going to disciple you. And they're going to journey with you. It's not just, you made that decision, great. Hope everything works out okay for you. No, that's not what this is about. We want to journey with you and walk with you. And every week, Kim, sitting on the front row of my church is a gal who last year at this time showed up for an abortion at the abortion clinic. There were people out there just loving on her. She made the decision, the courageous decision, to keep her baby. And now every week she sits on the front row of our church because she was cared for, discipled, and her little boy is being raised in the house of God. To me, oh my gosh, that is absolutely beautiful.
Now, Pastor, how do you get all these churches to be involved? That's another, I talked about the $1 million to raise. How do you have so many churches in this whole ride that you're going to be visiting? It's got to be, what an amazing thing to meet so many different people on this journey.
Yeah, Neil, I'm excited that all across the country, as I'm journeying and logging those miles every day, I'm going to be able to meet with pastors and others in different cities all across the country and just share with them my heart and why I'm doing this and what Love Life is all about and how they can become involved, how they can be a House of Refuge church. And what does that mean? What does that even look like? What does it mean to be a House of Refuge church? And even if Love Life doesn't have a presence in their city, they can still be a House of Refuge church. Even if they're in another country, they can
Thank you so much for what you are doing. And I can't imagine. I hope that you've got a really nice seat on your bike, because they're not necessarily known for comfort. And that is a lot of riding in a day, 80 miles a day. And I'm pretty sure it's not all going to be flat.
Oh, it would be nice if that were the case, Kim. But no, I've got some tough climbs, I know, in New Mexico and Texas and different places. Even when I get over into Alabama and Georgia, there's going to be, unfortunately, lots of hills. But I think my legs are ready for it. I'm praying so. And my seat is ready. I've logged lots of miles. So everything is good and broken in there.
All right. Kim has her final question, and it's involving love. Go ahead, Kim.
So, Pastor Jay, a few years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And 4 months later, my husband was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and he passed away just 6 weeks after that. And it made me question life a little bit, you know, because I love that man. And I didn't expect to be alone in my 40s. And, you know, it's just tough stuff, right? And one of the things I questioned was love, because there seems to be this mystery about really what is the definition of love. And John says that God is love. We're created in God's image. So love must be so much more than a feeling or an emotion. So I dedicated a year here. I talk about not committing to an entree. I did commit to this year, which blew my mind that I was able to do it, to go on this quest to figure out the true meaning of love. I use 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, love is kind. And I focused on one word a month to figure out, well, what is love that is patient? What is love that is kind? It blew my mind. I was in Haiti most of the time, but man, my life changed. My world rocked.
Wow.
Because there are things we teach about love that really are not, right? Things done in the name of love, like even with what you're doing, you know, people that have been the yellers outside of the abortion clinics, they were doing it out of love, kind of, or thought they were, right? Or they were doing it in the name of love and thought that was love. And so, you know, we do things and say things that really aren't love. And so anyway, I just learned so much. It was just such a cool journey. And I'd love to hear, what is your definition of love?
Wow, Kim, talk about a loaded question. I should be asking you that, because it sounds like your quest has probably unearthed some invaluable treasures as it relates to love. And you said it, God is love. And the character of God never, ever changes, even in the midst of bad things or hurtful things or unfair things. You know, the scripture talks about a tower of Siloam that fell on some people that were praying and worshiping. You know, like, where's the love in that? I mean, where, how can that happen to good people? And what happened to you was not fair. And I'm so sorry about that. But it does not change the character of God. And really the model for my life, and I'm sure for yours as well, it just goes back to that cliche, WWJD. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would Jesus treat people that are unlovable? How would he treat people that are making horrific decisions and killing a baby or whatever it might be? And I just try to default to that all the time. I know I don't get it right, but I just really, and I believe the Lord will faithfully show us what that looks like, how to flesh that out in day-to-day life so that we accurately represent his heart here on the earth as living epistles.
That's beautiful. I love that. And, you know, I actually have wristbands that are WWLD, what would love do?
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
Right? Because Jesus, yeah. You know, different people look at Jesus different ways. And,
right.
You know, you and I, he's all about peace and love and was the total demonstration of love for us,
yeah.
but not the same for everybody. So
right.
What would love do is, what would God do? What would Jesus do? I mean, it's all the same. And I love that you said that. So
yeah.
Beautiful. Geez, Pastor, you are good off the cuff. That was really good. That was great.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Pastor Jay, can we find information? People can be part of this whole challenge you're about to do.
Yeah, thank you so much, Neil. Please go to the website, which is liferideusa.org. Liferideusa.org. There's some great videos, explanations, a way for you to sign up to form a team, sign up to join a team. You can click a button to donate to help us financially to reach the goal. You can find out about House of Refuge Churches. All of the information is there at that website.
Well, we appreciate it, Pastor Jay. Thanks again.
Neil, Kim, thank you so much. Again, it's been an honor to be with you today. Thank you. Please pray for me.
Oh, right. Yes, for sure.
All right. That was a special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Love Is podcast. Take care.